Hey, you guys, it's Monday.
Yeah, we're sitting here talking about whether or not we got to go down to the store and get some celery.
I want some crab salad, goddammit. Yeah. I've had that big thing of like crab with a K.
Yeah.
And you keep saying, I'm going to make it. We got to go to the store. But we haven't been to the store.
I need hoagie rolls too for it though. So
we need celery and hoagie rolls.
Yeah.
So we don't have any bread to put it on.
Right.
We have everything else. We have mayo, right?
Yeah. Got everything in sour cream.
Seafood salad.
And cream cheese if you want to put cream cheese in it.
I know. And I don't care if people think it's gross. I love that shit.
Yeah. All right. So, this is a good little flick we saw last night. It's called Vampires. This is, well, like 1970, but it's 74.
74. No, 74. Vampires with
Y. Yes.
Or Wampires.
Yeah.
Vampires.
1974 British lesbian skin flick.
Technically they were bisexual.
Yeah. Well, they were vampires.
They were pansexual.
Yeah.
Vampsexual.
Yeah. If that shit was sexy, they was gonna
If it had blood in it, they were gonna bang it and then drink the blood out of it. Which seems like good, you know, equal opportunity.
Yep.
Everyone's blood tastes the same, whether you're a boy or a girl or whatever.
A lot of cute British women in it, you know.
Although I don't think either of the vampires were British.
The Italian? German?
I think the blonde, Anulka, I think she was German. Because I think she had been in, like, German Playboy or whatever. Yeah. Like, she was Playmate of the Year in 1973. Marianne Morris, I'm not sure. I don't think she was British either.
It doesn't really matter because the Hammer movies were like that, too, where they just kind of got whoever was hottest.
It's an international
They didn't
cast.
Necessarily have to be British.
Yeah.
All of the European movies did that. Italian movies had German actresses and British actresses in them, too. They just worked wherever the work was.
Yeah.
But this is a cool little flick. By today's standards, it's just what you'd call kind of like a skin flick. Back in the days, this would have been borderline X-rated, probably. It is softcore porn.
It definitely is softcore porn.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of blood in it, too. This was a lot gorier, like, more violent than I remembered.
Yeah.
Because I mostly just remembered the boobs.
Right.
You know, it's just so many boobs.
See, Hammer was all boobalicious because they used bustiers a lot. And fucking those things were fucking hiked up around a girl's ears. And they were fucking super pretty, real good sets, good acting, you know, fucking you'd have Peter Cushing show up. So that was the route that a Hammer flick would go. All right. They promised to show a lot. They never really would show stuff. It was just suggested. This made up for all that class that would normally be in. That's what we'll call that shit, class. This movie had to make up for all that lack of class, like Hammer had, and they made up with it for just skin. They were going to show you boobs. They would show you girls fucking rolling around trying to have oral sex with one another and fucking trying to fucking bite each other.
A little bit of bush, too.
Yeah, bush, yeah.
And a little bit of male nudity.
Yeah.
Just very, very briefly.
Yeah. Well, they knew the market.
Yeah.
There weren't going to be any guys to see this, you know what I mean? They weren't going to be...
It's like no one wants to see pain.
This was going to be mostly guys seeing this. They didn't really want to see it. And it was good, man. They have, like, you know... stereotypical tropes. They got the kind of hot but nerdy straight girl, and then the lesbian vampire team are gonna try to fucking swing them over to their side, and they end up fucking cutting her head off and shit. Fucking all kinds of shit happens. It's sadistic too. It's pretty sadistic.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like I said, I saw this a long time ago. This was actually directed by Jose Ramon Larraz, who, is he Spanish? Or I thought he was a Spanish director.
Probably.
He also made a movie called The Violation of the Bitch, and you know that I'm going to have to see that.
Yeah, you know they're going to have to violate
the bitches. that's just how it goes, you know.
Yeah.
But so I had seen this a long time ago, and I remembered liking it, but I remember it not really having a plot. But it actually has, like, more of a plot to it than I remembered. Oh, it's not, like, a lot of plot. It's a lot of plot. You know, because it's just kind of... And a lot of it doesn't really make any sense because a lot of it is just kind of engineered towards showing as much skin and as much blood as possible. But it does have, like, things happen. I don't know why. It's, like, for some reason... when I thought about this movie, I'm like, oh, is just this the one with like the two vampire ladies and they're just like wandering around in this churchyard? But this does have that, but I had forgotten like about all the other stuff that happened, which I don't know why that, why I forgot.
They're also
about
talking
it.
About Deuce Twins of Evil and
we did that one.
And Countess Dracula.
Yeah, we did that one too, didn't we?
We did that one too, yeah.
We might have done Countess Dracula. The one that was about Elizabeth Bathory.
So far, I think the best one was fucking
Carmilla.
That was really the best one.
I mean, I kind of feel like lesbian or bisexual vampires is like a very, is a pretty big subgenre.
Yeah.
When you, it's like, you kind of think about, there's so many of them that I confuse them with one another because
Carmilla was mostly just suggestion. There was nudity in it, but most of it was just suggested and situational shit. And, of course, all the girls were fucking smoking hot pretty in that one. These were good looking too, but I would say the ones out of Carmilla were better looking.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Kind of hard to say though.
I don't know.
A lot of it was makeup and costumes.
But yeah. I mean, this one basically.
This one's more just fucking down and dirty.
Yeah, and this one like literally like jumps right into it. It's just kind of like, hey, here's the movie. Oh, by the way, here's two ladies having sex. Enjoy.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean?
This would have been
it just jumps right into it.
In its day, this would have been considered softcore porn, verging on X.
I think in some countries it might have been rated X.
Yeah, verging on X. No real things people don't realize that there's a difference between if you couldn't get an R rating, it was just X.
Yeah.
That's what they called it. Now, if it was just like porn, that was triple X. But X was close. It was what we would call soft core. You know. They didn't really show sex. It was just suggested.
Yeah. But like I said, this does actually have enough nudity in it.
If there's too much nudity, it became X. Because you weren't going to be able to get an R rating.
Which seems weird, because you'd think that like the more nudity there was, you'd have like diminishing returns. Because it's like, okay, yes, ain't it? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know. It's just quantity, not quality. I don't know. It's just like a whole, it's a whole thing.
It was the thinking of the censors of the day.
I guess so. But yeah, this,
people were making these movies, exploiting the censorship of the day, trying to take a very low budget movie and make it sensational so people would see it like they were going to see something. Well, it was X. We're going to see some shit. But then you said, no, it wasn't really anything to look at. It wasn't really a big deal. Maybe it was to them, but
I kind of feel like if you went and saw this in 1974, I feel like you'd feel like you got your money's worth.
Yeah, in 74.
In 1974, not nowadays, but
right.
But yeah. So the story behind this one, like I said, this actually has more plot than I had remembered it having. So you got these two vampires, Fran and Miriam. Now, I'm not entirely sure, because this is, like, not really explained.
Yeah, because just kind of like, fuck the story. I was just watching.
Yeah, it's not important.
It's not important.
It's not important. Well, something that confused me was that, like, literally the very first scene of this movie is, like, this English manor house, which I'm looking at the outside of the house going, I know I've seen some other movies that had that house in it, which I think it was in some Hammer movies. At first, I thought it was the same house from Legend of Hell House, but I don't think it is. But yeah, so I think it was like in a bunch of Hammer movies as well, because it looked real familiar. But so the literally the first scene is these two chicks having sex in their bed, like in the manor house, which you're presuming is their manor house. Some shadowy figure who is never identified comes in and shoots them both dead. And then there's credits. And then suddenly they're both like hitchhiking out on an English country road, and suddenly they're vampires. Yeah. So I don't really know how them getting shot. Because, I don't know, they say at the end that everybody, you know, oh, nobody wants to buy this house because everybody thinks that it's haunted by these two women that were murdered in there. But it's just like, so are they supposed to be ghosts?
It didn't make any sense. I didn't really think much about it because that's not
what they were. Well, that's kind of my, I overthink things.
That's
not
what this movie was about. This
movie was about boobs and stabbing.
Yeah, yeah. It was just really just about sex and
violence. Boobs and stabbing the movie.
It's a well-shot movie. It looks good. It's got good-looking actresses in it. Storytelling is not the strong point. It's just a bunch of sex with some murder scenes and people's heads get ripped off and people drinking blood, and then it goes on to the next one. I was not even trying to follow it because it was almost kind of like an Italian edit where it didn't make sense.
But it's like,
it makes sense that this is Spanish.
Yeah, I think the director is Spanish. It was made in the UK, but it's and I guess it was like a British production company.
It's got Spanish fingerprints all over it.
You have Spanish fingerprints.
Yeah, because you know they were doing the same kind of shit the Italians were doing, where film was just art. It was just an experience. You'd paid some money to see it. You weren't really supposed to analyze it. You weren't supposed to read much into it. They didn't give a shit about plot or continuity that much. It's just here. Watch this. Wasn't that cool? Okay. Watch this one.
Look at all the jiggling boobies.
Yeah. Wasn't that so? It was just that's what they
and
were
everyone's
doing.
Like, oh yeah, I suppose so.
And if you see, you know, documentaries of the fucking the Italian directing style, they're going for one thing, but they can't shoot that. So okay, well we'll just do this then. Oh, we can't.
Whatever.
Yeah, we'll just do this then. Yeah, okay. That's what they're doing.
People, they'll figure it out.
Yeah. It won't matter. It's a great film. Great film. That's what they're doing. I don't care. They don't care, and I don't care.
I don't care either, but it's like I said, I'm a storyteller, so I was always kind of like interested in it. So for some reason, like these two women getting shot, like leads to them becoming vampires. So basically, they're lurking outside of what was presumably their manor house at some time in the past. I don't know how long it's been since that, because it looks like it's a little bit dilapidated. But what they do is they'll go out on the side of this country road and then they'll hitchhike. And then whatever dude happens by, you know, it's like, hey, can you give me a ride to my house? It's not that far. And every dude is just kind of like, well, sure, get on in. You know, so they get in and then they drive him back to the house. They're like, hey, how about you come inside for some wine and, you know, maybe something else. Mm-hmm. And every single guy is just like, okay, fair enough. So they all kind of go in there and then they all get horribly killed and they drink their blood. But and then what they do is they take the bodies and then put them back in the car. So they don't show them doing this, but you're presumed that this is what they do. Then they put the body back in the car and then they turn the car over out on the road. So I'm always like wondering, so the whole time I'm wondering, like, are the cops like, man, there really are a lot of one car accidents on this road. What the fuck is going on? But yeah, so the main guy, our main male character, Ted, now he's presumably a businessman. And the first time you see him, he shows up at like a hotel. I didn't really get why this scene was in there either, but it's like he shows up at this hotel and wants to check in. I don't know if he's like in for some conference. I don't know what the fuck it is. But then they make a like kind of a big deal about this old man that works at the hotel, like saying, haven't I seen you somewhere before? And Ted's being like, no. So I thought that there was going to be something tying in with like, he was the dude that shot the women, or he was like, I don't know.
What happened was is that they were trying to tell a story, but budget
but
wouldn't
permit. But then they
forgot. Yeah, budget wouldn't permit, or something happened, somebody didn't show up, so they got to knock this fucker out, so they just continue shooting.
Let's make the ladies kill more people.
Yeah.
We just forgot everything we said at the beginning.
There are people in there talking about, you know, movies of the era like Midnight Cowboy and fucking, what was the other one that they were talking about? Easy Rider. That they didn't even really care much for those. Those were actually okay movies, but you have to understand those are boomer movies. They spoke to the boomer generation for some strange reason. I don't really understand a lot of the things that they held up as cultural milestones. Those two movies were just kind of like okay. They're okay movies. But this movie is kind of like an Italian boomer art flick. And they got away with a lot of shit back then. They had to make movies. They had to make movies quickly and cheaply. You're in the middle of a damn project. Something doesn't go right. So, whoa, okay, we can't do that. Let's just do this. And this, fuck the script.
More blood, more boobs.
Yeah. They had a lot of times they had a script, but
as long as it's 85 minutes.
Halfway through it, they're like, well, we can't do this because such and such. Fuck the script. We'll just do this instead. It'll all work out. Don't worry about it. And then they try to edit it all together. It doesn't really work out. But then they just look at it and goes, oh, this is a marvelous film. This is a marvelous film. Okay, yeah. Send it out. Sell it. It'll make money. And they would show this shit in a theater and it would make money.
As long as the poster looked good and they brought... And like I said, if you're paying, a lot of like teenage boys are paying to see these movies. And as long as there was like, you know, tits and some muff and
they'd
some blood
see it
in
twice,
there.
Three times.
Yeah, they'll be like, all right.
Yeah.
They're not too worried.
Yeah, man, she's looking great. And they didn't even notice the story.
But what I thought was interesting, though, was that some of the scenes at the beginning, like with them getting shot, for example, which was like the first scene, and then the scene of Ted, the businessman, at the hotel, like checking into a room, and then that old guy like, haven't I seen you somewhere before? And like they were kind of making a big deal about it. So it almost seemed like they were trying to set up a story, but then they didn't like do anything with that, I don't think, unless I was like not paying attention. Yeah.
And then there were movies where it kind of felt like they were fucking up, but in the end it all turned out great. Like Roman Polanski's The Tenant. It seemed like he was fucking up, but no, everything in there means something.
Yeah.
So sometimes it was hard to tell because they kind of had that boomer art flick tone to them. Whether they were good or bad, they kind of had that tone.
Yeah.
This is just a bad one.
Well, the thing about this, though, but this is still entertaining, though.
Yeah. It's doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Lesbian vampires, lots of boobs, pretty girls. And it's supposed to be scary, and there's some fucking bunch of bloody scenes in it. You're not supposed to worry about continuity. They kind of fucked up that part up, I think, probably. Print it. And this is pre-internet porn, pre-VHS, pre-anything. This is for young guys. This is the only time they're going to be able to see fucking high-quality boobs like this. Maybe at least
some high-quality boobs.
Yeah, on fucking film.
Well, yeah, you want some that are moving.
They're moving and shit. They're getting photographs, but they're like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, just shaking the picture isn't really like, that's not really the same.
And that was an attraction enough in this era. This movie could have been fixed. You could have done a lot, but they just didn't. I don't think they had time or the money.
And like I said, this is still an entertaining movie. Yeah. I find this entertaining. It's like, it's really like atmospheric and stuff. Yeah. I'm just fascinated by it because they did actually try to, like, there's characters in there and there does seem to be like, okay, so Ted, after he goes like to the hotel, he picks up Fran, like one of the hitchhikers. She takes him back to the manor house. And then there's kind of like a long thing where she drinks blood. They don't have fangs though, which I guess like saved a lot of money because they didn't have to make dental appliances for everybody. They just like cut open your arm and just like drink out of your arm.
Kind of like The Hunger.
Yeah, it's kind of like The Hunger where they don't have fangs in that movie either. But so it's kind of that kind of thing. But then for whatever reason, like the later dudes that they pick up, you know, that the Miriam, also the blonde that she picks up too, and they usually just bring the dudes back and just like just chop them up and like drink them and then, you know, chuck them in the fucking, you know, car accident or whatever. But for whatever reason, Fran seems to have like taken some kind of liking to Ted. It's like she's still drinking out of him, but she's kind of like saving that shit, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like she doesn't kill him right away. She just like keeps, and I guess he is sort of like falling under her spell because he wakes up the next morning and he's like, oh, dude, I don't feel so good. It's like, oh, I must have cut myself on the wine glass or whatever. And he's like kind of hung over and anemic or whatever. And then he can't find her. And then, so he's going to leave, but then he comes back. So it's almost like she has some kind of like psychic hold on him.
She said, you forgot about the two campers.
Well, I was just going to, I was going to get to that too. Because like I said, I was trying to talk about it and then you kept saying, like, I don't want to, like, forget stuff.
Yeah, it's my fault.
But it is. Well,
this piece of shit movie. We're not worried about too much about this piece of shit movie.
Well, you know what I mean. Like I said, everybody was excited that I was doing all vampire movies this week. But yeah, so there's two campers also who, you know, are just randomly on a camping trip and they've kind of, like, parked their little what you call it outs on the grounds of this thing, and you know they're doing fishing and all that other kind of crap. And like the first night when Ted comes out and like doesn't know that he's just been like vampired, you know, he's just like, oh look, I cut myself, and they help him out and everything. But for whatever reason, like the girl camper is super interested in like what the fuck's going on up at the house. I thought it was abandoned, and then she sees a light up there, and so at one point she goes in there and kind of breaks in. Now see, I thought that, and it's like funny because her boyfriend is just like, what is it? No, there's nothing weird. It's just there's one scene where she wakes up in the middle of the night because she hears a dude scream, which she totally did because, you know, the vampire ladies like picked somebody up and they're like killing him in there. So he was screaming about it. So she wakes up in the camper because she heard somebody scream. And then like there, like a hand like hits against the window of the camper and she wakes up her boyfriend. It's like, hey man, like somebody's out there. There's like a hand and everything. And he's like, he does like the total dude things, like every movie in the 70s and every episode of A Haunting. You imagined it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I imagined a dude screaming and a person's hand like banging against. Yeah. I totally imagine that.
Just hallucinate.
You know what I mean? Because yeah. I knew he was going to do that too. I was like, wait for it. Yep, that's what I thought. So, are you sure you were dreaming?
Yeah.
You know how girls do, how they don't know like how
they
reality
how
works?
Fucking brains work. They're just sitting here and they see some shit.
Every
and
time
they fucking
I see that in a movie, it just makes me laugh so hard.
You know how it is.
And I just knew, I could tell like by the look on his face that he was going to say... That it's your imagination. That's like exactly what he said.
They don't see shit that's there, and then they see shit that isn't there. You know how it is. They don't know how anything works.
So we don't even know if something's there. I don't even know if this laptop is here. I don't even know if you're here.
No,
right
I'm not
now.
Here. It's all in your mind. Yeah.
Sounds like some shit you would say.
What's funny though is that they did that trope over and over again in movies.
They did.
Over and over again. I mean, yeah. Oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
That's why I laughed at it. It's like, that's why I laughed when he went that way, because I'm just like, wait for it. He's going to say.
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
It's just an unnecessary complication.
I want to write.
It doesn't cost any money to do it, so they do it.
I guess. Yeah. I want to write. Now I'm kind of interested. Now I want to write a book about that trope in movies and like where it came
from.
Where
did that come from?
Like what was the first iteration of that? It's got to be super old.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that was probably even in like silent
movies. It probably went back to the 1800s with women fainting.
Yeah, it's got to be super old.
Yeah.
Well, because I kind of feel like even in literature and kind of just in life in general, like particularly back then in the Victorian era, probably prior to that, it was kind of a thing. Was like, oh, women, they have hysteria with that womb that wanders around, which actually is what we're going to do the show
wandering
about.
Womb. They're pussy wandering around here. It's got a spiritual pussy that wanders.
I know,
around.
Man. It's like, I can't count the number of times that I've woken up and my womb has escaped and it was like walking around the neighborhood and I had to like go drive the car and like find out where she went.
Ghost pussy. That's the problem.
Little womb wandering down the street. I'm out of here. I'm going to 7-Eleven for some smokes.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. I think what it was is...
It's so funny to me.
The whole fainting Victorian woman thing, they used to say, well, it's because of the corsets. I don't believe so. I think it was virtue signaling. It was to show everyone else that they were shocked. I think that's what it was.
Although the corsets probably didn't help. Gotta be fair. But I can't breathe.
I've known my friend Melissa corseted herself down to like a fucking waist about that big. So it was super easy and it didn't bother her. She had to back off though because she was starting to suffer.
Well, yeah, it'll rearrange your organs.
Yeah,
because you know you only got so much room in there.
She went down to like fucking that. She wore it all the time. She said it just got easier and easier, and you could tighten it up. It always felt loose.
Yeah.
And then she just got crushed her little rib cage in and shit like that. But she, that's the way she liked that, you know.
Yeah.
And she said she never had any kind of fainting spells. It's just that she could tell something was wrong.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, when I have the corset on and it's like really tight or something, it's not so much I feel like I'm going to faint. It's more like I feel like I'm going to throw up.
Yeah.
Because like if you try to eat with it, it feels like the food can't go all the way down your esophagus. It feels like
that.
She
said she didn't eat much.
Yeah.
She said you could get away with eating very little after a while.
Yeah.
But I think what it was they were just showing off to everybody else that something had happened and that they were overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Because they are deity.
You know I mean? Yeah, that's probably what it was.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God, I can't. Oh,
I can't take
my
it.
Virgin sensibilities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My sensibilities are overwhelmed. I can't take it. Oh, save me.
Well, yeah, because
so kind of like
well, because
sibling.
If you were a lady back then and like something gross happened and you were like awesome, like everybody would like be like witch.
It was a way. It was a way of getting approval of being dainty and genteel.
Louis said the first time I saw this movie as a kid, I thought Ingrid Pitt played Fran. Well, Ingrid Pitt. Played. She was in Countess Dracula, wasn't she? Like the Hammer one. Was that Hammer? I think we did that. Yeah. So that might be what you were thinking of. Mike Barrett points out, and I was going to say this. They did a remake of this film. Yeah, I think it was 2014, 2015, or something like that. I was going to watch it because I think it's for free on Tubi, which this one is as well, although it's also on Shudder. That's why we watched it on Shudder. But I was like, yeah, I really don't think we need to see a remake of this because I'm sure it's probably not very good. Because honestly, it's like I said, this doesn't have what they were going to do where I was going with like the female camper thing. They seem to be setting up because as soon as she arrived, she's like, who are those two ladies? And they're like acting really weird. And there's somebody in that house and, you know, all this other. So she seemed like really interested in what was going on over there. So I thought that, again, that they were setting up that the two vampire ladies were gonna like take her in, like, hey sister, like they were gonna kill all the dudes and then, you know, let's make her like our vampire third, you know. So I thought that's where it was going, but that's totally not what they did with it. They just killed her. You know, but I don't even think they, I don't even think they drank her blood, did they? I think they just like,
I can't remember.
Took all her clothes off.
I don't even remember.
And then cut her throat, and then they were just like, meh.
They cut her head off or something, didn't they?
Or they cut her throat. I don't know if they cut her whole head off.
Yeah, they didn't do anything with her. I thought they were going to turn her into a vampire. But
see, I thought that too, because I thought they spent so much time like building up the character, and then there was that scene. Yeah. See, that's what I mean. There's like all these scenes in there that I thought were going somewhere, and they didn't like go anywhere. So there's
I think it was going to go somewhere.
Well, that's what I mean. But I'm interested to know, because there's one scene where the Lady Camper is she is painting the manor house, like she's got her canvas and her and everything, like painting a picture of it. She's not actually painting it, so she's painting a picture of it, and then the two vampires like come out of the woods, like she's just like, ooh, what the fuck, and like she thinks somebody's back there, and then the two vampire ladies come out of the woods, and then they say something like, you know, Fran says something about like, you know, I can recognize you like my mark now or something like that, and she does a thing with her thumb on her forehead.
Yeah.
And, you know, later they show the Lady Camper, like, look in the mirror and go, what the fuck? Why did she touch my head? What does that mean? So I thought that they were leading up to, hey, you're our next, like, vampire conquest. We're going to make you a vampire. And there will be, like, a vampire lady gang, and we're going to go around, like...
Well, I think that's what it was supposed to be.
See, that would have been awesome.
I think it was supposed to be that. But something happened behind the scenes, the production. They couldn't... Maybe she had to leave the project. Maybe they didn't like her or something like that.
She was a Shakespearean stage actress, the one that played the Lady Camper.
Maybe she quit. So they says, okay, we're going to get your role done fucking the next couple of days so you can get out of here. Something like that.
She did say that her and the director didn't get along.
Yeah.
Although she said that the director was kind of mean to her and was mean to the guy that was playing her boyfriend,
okay,
too.
Okay, so it might have been probably something like that.
So maybe that's
so they just changed the script to get rid of her. And then, you know, they would fucking... then they would make an excuse. Oh, well, we meant to do that all along. We were just, what do you call it? We're a fucking, there's a term that they use now when you're expecting one thing, but then it doesn't, that's not how the story is going to go. Something about your expectations. Fucking we're...
Subverting.
What's that?
Subverting
your expectations. No, that's not what you did. You just fucking fucked the story up because you kicked the... You kicked that fucking actress off. You never didn't intend to do that. Yeah, subverting the expectations. That's just how you take your errors and your fuck ups and spin it around to try to convince the audience that or your customers that you're artistic. You didn't like it because you couldn't appreciate the artistic qualities of this film. It subverted your expectations. So in other words, it wasn't as good as you thought it was going to be. Subverting expectations. It's fucking funny.
Although, like I said, I don't think this is like a... Nobody ever said that because this was just kind of like a cheap cash grab. But it's. I just thought it was interesting because they did really
Not this movie. I'm saying in movies in general, the directors and shit do that.
They did actually really seem to be set, like taking great pains to like set up plot points.
Yeah, that would
like
never
I
happened.
Said, yeah, with say for example, Ted checking in at the hotel, the guy saying, "Hey, haven't I seen you before?" And the guy being like, "No, you don't know who I am. I'm just like I've never been here before." So I thought they were gonna set up like he was a reincarnation of somebody or other.
Yeah.
So I thought there was that whole thing, the whole thing of like Fran keeping him alive, even though they just pretty much immediately killed
that.
The other ones, and the whole thing with like the Lady Camp. Like with the thing with the mark on the forehead and her being like super fascinated.
I kind of
thought that all of those were kind of going to lead to something. They did.
Were.
But it's just, that was, I don't know. They that were. Was just like really interesting to me. Like I said, it's not a bad movie. It's like, it's kind of a cool, like stylish, like atmospheric kind of thing. But it does kind of feel like they set up a lot of plot points that don't really go anyplace.
Yeah. They were going to go somewhere, but something happened in production and they stopped following the script or couldn't follow the script, so they had to find alternate ways to end the movie and to shoot the movie. That's what happens.
Oh, plus can I give a shout out to like the dude playing the mansplaining wine expert?
I don't remember
like
that.
Yeah. Like he was like the last, I think he was the last dude that they killed.
Yeah.
Like they brought him in like for the party and he was just, they brought him down to the wine cellar and he's just like, oh, this is a this and this is a that. And then it's like, then he thought he was going to drop his nuts by saying, because they gave him some wine, and he was like, I'm going to guess where this is from. And Fran's like, you're never going to guess. I was like, did they make it from their menstrual blood? Yeah, that was the first thing I thought of, but no, that wasn't the answer. But yeah, so he tried to be like all clever and shit like that, and she's like, eh, wrong. But I mean, to his credit, at least he didn't go, no, you're wrong, which I kind of felt like he probably would have, but he was just kind of like, oh, okay, my bad.
I think originally the movie probably had a good script, but they couldn't follow the script for one reason or another, and you ended up with kind of like a typical Southern European kind of movie where you stop following the script halfway through it, you know, like you do it, like what would happen in Italy and in Spain. That's what they would do.
Maybe all the wine bottles in that cellar were real and they were full of really good wine.
Yeah.
And all of the crew were just so fucking hammered that they couldn't even remember.
Yeah.
Like halfway through the movie, like they just went through the whole cellar. I'm just making stuff up. They just went through the whole cellar and then they were just like, they don't even know where the script is. They spilled wine all over it. They couldn't read it anymore. It was all smudged. So they were basically just wrote in more stabbing and boobies. The end. Yeah. Well, because then at the very end, they have like this old couple who are supposed to be American, and one of them sounds American, but the other one still sounds British. But they came there like to buy the house, and like the real estate agent is like telling them, yeah, this has been abandoned for a long time because it's supposed to be haunted by these two women. But see, after the two vampire ladies like kill the camper lady, they were just like, yeah, we got to get the fuck out of here. I guess like killing all the dudes, like no one gave a shit and like no one noticed. But the second like they killed the camper lady, they were like, oh shit, we got to go. So they took off like across, you know, and vanished into the sunset. And so I don't know if they were just supposed to be, because they're clearly vampires, right? Because they were drinking blood. They don't have any, you know, they don't have any fangs or nothing. But then they were kind of also trying to imply that they were ghosts because they got shot at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, you're trying to make sense out of something.
I'm thinking about this more than anybody that made this movie thought about it.
Pat said from what he heard, the director was an asshole.
I heard that too. Although, that said, I still want to see his other movie, The Violation of the Bitch, because that's one of the best movie titles of all time.
Well, he's sitting back going, you must understand something. There's all these bitches. I'm constantly thinking about bitches being violated. I'm going to make a new movie called The Violation of the Bitch. Because I think about it. Think about these bitches and think about the violation. Going to have to violate some bitches.
Or at least one.
How does one violate bitches? Then he comes out with a fucking script. That's what he's fucking thinking. I'm going to violate some bitches in this movie.
Yeah, he probably...
Fuck you, bitches. I'm here to violate. That's what he's thinking.
I imagine there's probably, like, whips and chains. Whips and chains involved.
Nigga, he's like hot British actresses and shit going, who is this fucking asshole? Guy's an asshole. Pass me that joint, will you? Thank you. You're an asshole. you're a tosser.
Yeah, tosser, wanker.
Yeah. Ah, you bitches.
Pillock.
You bitches.
Something.
Yeah, he's real overweight. You bitches.
I kind of feel like wanker. They probably would call him a wanker.
Yeah.
Tom's channeling Dino De Laurentiis. Yeah, he did kind of sound like Dino De Laurentiis.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to make a movie. Yeah.
Mike Barrett said, I listened to the commentary on the DVD from the director, and he didn't sound like he had problems with the film. Maybe this is the way he intended it.
I know.
But it really does seem very strange.
He's lying.
That
he's just protecting his work.
It does seem strange. Well, although I will say, and I don't know if it's just something that's, I don't know what it is, because I kind of feel like there's, you know, some Italian movies that are like this as well, where a lot of stuff seems like it's going to lead to something, like I said, where they kind of seem like they do these scenes where they're like, ooh, significant, we're setting this thing up, but then they never do anything with it.
Just watch interviews with the directors of fucking Troll 2. And the fucking How Troll 2 was made. And that's very typical. That's a typical Italian way.
That dude totally still thinks that's a good movie, yeah. I think.
That's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with... which was kind of like the typical Italian workman-like fucking, let's knock this fucker out! You know? Let's get it done. That's what they're doing.
Which, in a way, kind of reminds me of that scene in Tim Burton's Ed Wood.
Yeah, yeah.
Where, you know, people were, like, knocking over the cardboard gravestones. And he's like, no one's going to notice. It's like, everybody, you know what I mean?
That's what they're doing.
Even though literally everybody notices.
And then afterwards, they cook up a whole story about how artistic it is. And, oh, no, this is intended this way. Yeah, it's just to defend the work, the integrity of the work. No, they're full of shit, man. They made that up as they were going along. The script probably was pretty good, but they talk about it over and over again. They get into positions where they can't follow the script anymore because somebody doesn't show up or they run out of money. Usually they run out of money. They spent too much money, so they can't do that anymore. They have to fucking fire people because they can't afford them now, and all kinds of weird shit happens behind the scenes, which totally fucks the movie up. That's what, like Saturn III, one of my favorite sci-fi movies with fucking Harvey Keitel and Farrah Fawcett and fucking old, what's his name, and the damn robot. They're supposed to be kind of like Alien. That was going to be a really good movie. Now it's only like half a good movie. It didn't have an ending because they couldn't afford to shoot anymore, so they had to fucking change a bunch of shit around. And they had to get really cheap fucking space fucking scenes from Japan, like Toho. Did the fucking space scenes, almost fucking cheesy looking shit.
Well, and the thing about it is...
But it was almost good.
Especially
it would have been better had they actually been able to fucking execute the script.
Especially kind of with, maybe a little bit lower budget or smaller production company, stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're not real good. Like, you read a script, and unless you have, like, a bunch of, you know, really on-the-ball people, like, advising you, you're not entirely sure how much it's going to cost to do that. And, like, sometimes I kind of feel like maybe they lowball it a little bit just so they can get the money to make it. But then, like, they end up shooting all this stuff and it costs more than they thought. So they're like, well, shit, now we can't shoot this, that, and the other thing. So, like you said, it might get to a point where, well, we were going to have, like, this big fucking space battle at the end, but now we can't do that. Yeah. So we're just going to have a kid waking up in bed and saying it was all a dream.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That kind of shit.
See, Louis called it before. I just seen his comment now. He says the production probably ran out of money and the film went off the rails. They probably blew the funds on blow. Probably right. Correct.
That's usually.
They start partying and they fucking spend the fucking money on hookers and blow. That's what happens. And then they go, we got to finish it. They don't have the money.
Fuck.
And then
put some more boobs in there. Have them stabbing a couple more dudes.
And yes, Louis Kirk Douglas was it. That's right. I have it on Blu-ray.
Kirk Douglas's butt.
Yeah, he was nude during most of the shooting. He said he got used to it. And he wouldn't put his clothes back on.
And everyone's like, God damn it, Kirk.
Fuck. Yeah. He was in good shape for an old guy.
Though. I know, but
good shape for an old guy.
But I don't necessarily want to see some old guy run around naked on the set all the time when I'm at work. You know what I'm saying?
I have that movie on Blu-ray, and it's actually, the Blu-ray looks fucking good. Looks really good. Too bad they dubbed Harvey Keitel. It's not his voice.
Yeah, that was.
They didn't want a New York accent.
Yeah, because he had a New York
accent. But overall, it does fucking come. That's a really cool character that he does. There's a lot of good in that movie. There was a lot of potential. It was ahead of its time. Neuralinks, cybernetics, having robots with fucking human brains, cloned human brains in them in a big vat. It fucking learned off of you and. Robot fucking becoming obsessed with a woman because it's part human. It's fucking it was way ahead of its time. It's just that they ran out of money and they had to cheap out on a bunch of stuff, which blew the movie. It didn't give it a good strong ending, and the space cut scenes were pretty bad looking, but all the interior shots were good. The acting was pretty good and the story was pretty good. It's just that it didn't have a good climax. The way the robot died should have been about 20 minutes of them.
Yeah,
trying to
fight
that robot.
Yeah, it just fell through a hole in the floor, right?
Yeah,
basically.
And it blew up, type of deal. And they weren't able to do a lot of stuff that the script asked for. But I recommend it. I recommend it on Blu-ray if you can get it. It's worth getting.
And like I said, I've kind of heard, you know, just from reading the backstories of a lot of different movies, even ones that actually turned out really good, miraculously. Yeah. A lot of times, like, if you read, like, the original script of them, it's like sometimes they had all this other shit planned. Yeah. And they were just like, well, when we got halfway through the production, you know, the people were like, hey, you know, you're not getting any more money. And it's like, you only have X amount of dollars left. So they have to go through the script and like, well, we need to cut this out. We need to cut this out. We need to cut this out. So I don't know. I don't know if that affected this one. Like I said, probably. This is still like an entertaining movie. And like I said, it's definitely, if you're into the erotic horror, you know, erotic vampire genre, this is definitely way more on, I mean, it is definitely way more on the softcore porn side than it is on the horror side. Even though it is pretty bloody and it does have like some pretty gory, like violent, you know, sequences in it. But I was intrigued because there were just so many scenes that, you know, and it's quite well acted and it's quite well shot. So it's like, it's, you know, it's competently made and it's a pretty nice looking movie and the sets are nice looking. It's just, I just thought it was interesting that they spent so much time building up these little, you know, these little like nuggets of plot that really didn't seem to like tie together. They didn't like seem to go anywhere.
They had to delete a bunch of stuff.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
Although I don't see why it would be that expensive to shoot, hey, we're going to take this girl with us rather than just killing her.
It would have made sense if you were there at the time. It was something they had to get rid of somebody.
Or if I was like as that. High as they were at the time.
And there was definitely, you know, they were trying to do something else, but then they had to wrap it up.
Karen asked, did you find the key?
No. Weird.
We have no fucking idea where that key is.
No. I'm starting to think somehow I might have accidentally thrown it away.
I can't really think of anything else. Because Pookie could not have eaten it. That was too big for her to eat. She might have carried it somewhere and dropped it, but I, you know, in her mouth. But I don't, she wouldn't have been able to, like, eat it because it was too big.
I mean, I'm trying to put myself. I wasn't carrying anything when I came back, so it's not like I'd have had my key in the hand and garbage, and then gone by a garbage can and thrown like, them both in there. It wasn't doing that.
Because I've done that before.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Where I had something in my hand, and then I had garbage in my hand, like I had garbage from the car or something. Right, and I was just like, ah! And then I had to like dig in there, but, like get the shit out.
No, I didn't have anything. I just jumped off the bike and walked in the house. And I've been taking my motorcycle helmet off. And I usually leave the key in the ignition. There's no reason to take the key out.
So you pulled up all the mats in the garage and everything like that? It's not. Is it under the refrigerator in the garage, maybe?
I can move that and see. But I shone a light underneath there and didn't see anything.
Mm. Did you check the washer and dryer? Yeah. And I've done like a couple loads of laundry since then.
I took the washer thing out just so I could see. You know, the big fucking spike that stirs the clothes? I took it out.
Yeah.
It's just on it with a bolt. Took it out. There was nothing there.
Yeah, because I've done it, and you know, I even washed your motorcycle pants. I went through all the pockets and
with my driver's license ID and my title, I can go to Harley Davidson, and based on the VIN number, they can cut me a new key for about $35. So it's not that bad.
That's what I mean. That's like a lot cheaper than I had to pay like $200 to get fucking extra keys for my stupid car.
Yeah, so I guess I'll just have to do that. I mean, I got the other bike I can ride.
Tammy says it's still in the bike. No, that's where he would normally leave it, but
wasn't in there.
He either leaves it in the bike or in front of the television, like on the TV or on the nightstand, like on his side of the bed.
There was a chance I could have gone into the walk-in closet and put it on top of where I keep the Blu-rays and then take my armor off, but it's not there.
Yeah,
I turned the closet upside down. Even went through all the damn pants, looking through all the pockets. It's just gone. Poltergeist got it.
Maybe it did.
Maybe it's in between these walls.
Hey, Poltergeist.
Yeah, bring the damn key
bring
back.
Bring the key back.
Wouldn't that be a fucking trip if the key fell out of the ceiling? And I was like, whoa. Or we found it on top of the
I was like waiting for it to happen. Or we
found it on top of the damn
or you leave the office blades. And it's sitting in front of and it's sitting on the floor.
It's on top of the fan blades or something of the fucking there's all kinds of weird shit.
Fucking Poltergeist.
Happen. Yeah.
He's so tricksy.
I don't know where it is.
Yeah. Could someone have walked into your garage and taken it?
No.
No. You'd think they'd have taken the whole bike if they did that.
Yeah.
I mean, because we always have
they
the
would
garage.
Have no motive. They would just most where the key is. Most people wouldn't even think that there'd be a key there.
Yeah.
On a Buell Lightning, the key is on the side of the front fucking bikini fairing going along the side of the motorcycle above the forks. It's not on the top. So the average person can't even see where the key is. Key goes in the side. It's not real obvious.
And we don't have, I mean, we kind of live in like a gated community, so you don't really have a lot of people walking around. And, you know, and our garage is never open.
You're right.
So, got to bribe Pookie and have her show you where she put it.
And the steering column is not locked, and the motorcycle is here, which means the key is here.
Yeah, because if you came back on it.
If I didn't have the key, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You know.
So, I don't know.
So I had the key when I showed up. I don't know where it is.
Come on, Poltergeist. Yeah. Give it back. We're sending you like little waves.
I can't think of how I could have thrown it away. I wouldn't have been carrying anything.
Yeah.
Other than maybe my helmet.
Yeah. It's a mystery.
Yeah.
It's a mystery for the ages.
Yeah.
All right. Are we done?
Yeah.
Okay. So tomorrow we'll probably do another vampire movie. We'll either do Near Dark, which actually I want to do because I think DJ Maniac yesterday said that Shudder was taking it down at the end of August because I guess they only had it for a limited amount of time. And I've been wanting to do that for a long time because I really love that movie. And I know a lot of people have like requested it. So it'll probably be Near Dark. Although somebody asked us to do Vamp as well, which I think is on Tubi. Which I haven't seen that in a long time, the one with Grace Jones in it. I don't know. So we'll see. It'll be one of those two, probably. So I guess that'll do it for our review of the smutty, smutty vampire movie, Vampires with a Y, from 1974. And have a good rest of your day, everybody. We will see you again tomorrow afternoon. Bye.